So I got a very serious question to ask you guys as we begin this morning. What do you call a person who runs behind a car? Exhausted. I'm here all day, folks. In all seriousness, we are in the middle of a series. We started it last week that we're calling Running to Win. Running to Win. And really at the heart of this series is this idea, this theme, if you will, that every single one of us, no matter who you are in this life, has been called to run a race. We have been called to run a very specific race. And as we began to kind of unpack last week, we began to unpack this idea that many people are not running the course. They're not running the race that God has designed them to run. They're running a completely different course, and they're headed towards a finish line that is not going to produce the reward that they think it's going to produce. I think even more so, there are many Christians who are in the race, or maybe they're at the starting line of the race, and they're running, but they're not running very well. Some people are kind of crawling or walking their way in the race. Others have maybe gotten injured along the way, and they're stalled, they're stuck sitting on the side of the road, and they need to get back in the race. And at the end of the day, this is really the heart of this series. As a pastor, as many of your pastor, my desire, my hope, my prayer for all of us is that we would run the race well, that we would run this race with such excitement and energy and fervor, and we would put those shoes on, lace them up every single day. And when we get to the finish line, we would receive the reward that I believe God has called all of us to receive, those of us that are in Christ. You see, my hope in this series is simply this. It is to help you run well. That's what I want for you. That's what I want for each of you. And so we began by looking at a passage of scripture last week found in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is going to kind of serve as our theme verse for this entire series. And so I want to read this again. I feel like I could read this verse every single day as a reminder to me of who I have been called to be in Christ and the race that I have been called to run. This is what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I love this. He says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. We have been called to run a race. It is a race of faith. And our motivation for running that race is Jesus Christ. He is our motivation for everything. Once you come into relationship with him, once you experience his saving grace, once you begin to experience his truth for your life, he becomes the ultimate prize to be won, to honor him, to be obedient to him, to serve him, and to ultimately one day receive the ultimate prize, the ultimate reward, which is relationship in heaven with him for eternity, where there is no more pain and there is no more suffering and there are no more crappy weeks. That's what he offers. That's what he offers. And that's why we run. That's what we run for, and that's what we run towards. And I think what we really began to unpack last week is this idea that, like, it's not always going to be easy. Anybody who's gotten in the race, if you've gotten to the starting line and you've begun to run, you know it's not always easy. Sometimes there are going to be things that trip you up. There are going to be things that derail you. Some of those things are going to be our own sin, the things that we have in our own life that are messing us up. And sometimes it's going to be things that are completely out of our control. The race is not going to be easy. There's going to be days when you want to quit. There's going to be days when it doesn't feel like this race is ever, 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 ever going to end. But what we talked about last week is this, and this is the foundation for this series. We have to start running and we have to keep running. That's what Hebrews 12:1-3 is telling us. Start running the race. And even when it gets difficult, keep running. Keep your eyes focused on Christ, right? The author and finisher of our faith. And remember that he runs with you. He's with you every step of the way if you will just allow him to be there running with you. And so that's kind of where we left off last week. We just talked about what is the race? Okay, it's a race of faith. It is a race to get to the end, to get to the finish line and keep my faith and do everything I can to honor and bring glory to Jesus Christ because of what he's done for me. And that is my motivation. Christ is my motivation. The race is a race of faith. I am motivated by Christ. But today, as we dive into week two, it cannot be the end. That cannot be the last piece of information that we get in regards to running the race. Because the reality is there are certain things. We can know what the race is. We can be motivated to run it. But if there are certain things, if we do not put them into practice, there are certain behaviors, there are certain habits that if we don't put them into practice, we are going to have a very, very difficult time finishing well. And that's really what I want to dig into today, this week, and in the coming weeks. What are some of those behaviors? What are some of those habits that we need to be putting into practice daily in order to consistently run the race well? Something I tell my athletes that I coach all the time is that if you want to be a good runner in the physical sense, you have to live the lifestyle of a runner. And that goes for any athlete, right? Whether you're a basketball player, football player, baseball player, lacrosse, whatever, you can pick any sport you want. If you don't live the lifestyle of a runner, right, what does that mean? If you don't live the lifestyle of an athlete, that means diet. Yes, you have to train, but you got to get good sleep. You have to rest. Rest is just as important as the work, right? And we're actually going to talk about that in one of our upcoming weeks. What does it look like to actually rest? Right? You can't run well. You can't compete well unless you take some time to rest, right? And so all of these behaviors, they all combine to help us run the race at our absolute best, at our maximum potential. And so that's what I want to talk about the next couple of weeks. And so this week, we're gonna start with this. If we want to win the spiritual race, we have to train like someone who wants to win. Let me say that again. If we want to win the spiritual race, we have to actually train as if we want to win. So we're going to talk about what that means, what that looks like today. And I think this is true. I mean, whether you believe in God or not, whether you are a Jesus follower or not, this principle is true, right? It's true in running. It's true in life. It's true in the spiritual life, right? The race often doesn't go to the most talented. The race goes to the one who is best prepared, right? You can be the most talented person in the world. If you don't train, you're going to get beat by somebody who outworked you. I don't know if Michael Jordan was the most talented basketball player who ever lived. Don't get me wrong. He had some unbelievable physical attributes. But you know what made Michael Jordan the best in the world? His relentless pursuit of preparation. The training that he put in and week out, year after year after year. That's what allowed him to succeed. And the exact same thing is true in the spiritual life. If we're going to run well, we have to train well. And so we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. That's where we're going to start today. I encourage you, if you have a Bible, open up with us there. We'll be looking at just basically four verses today, four powerful verses written by the Apostle Paul to challenge us and encourage us to train like a champ. To actually practice and prepare to run the race well. Now, in the previous verses, just for some context here, we don't have time to read the entire chapter of 1 Corinthians 9, but Paul has been talking to the Corinthian church and trying to explain to them why he exists. Basically, telling them, this is the race I've been called to run. As an apostle, as a follower of Jesus, I have been called to make disciples, to tell as many people about Jesus as I possibly can. That's the race that I'm running. That's the race that we've all been called to run, to follow him with everything we got. And then he comes to this illustration, this brilliant analogy, and he launches into it with this. He says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize?" He says, "So run that you may obtain it." Then he says, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we, an imperishable." Now again, for some context, for some historical background here, we need to understand something. The Corinthian church actually had, not the Corinthian church, Corinth, the city of Corinth, had a set of games very similar to the Olympics, and they were almost as popular as the Olympics. We know the Olympics well today, right, because we're still seeing those put on every 4 years. But there was actually something in Corinth called the Isthmian Games, and they were very popular, and they actually took place in the city of Corinth. And so when Paul gives this illustration, he gives this analogy of someone running and people running for a prize, they absolutely could resonate with that. They understood that. And in these Isthmian Games, what they would actually do is anybody who was going to compete in those games, for 10 months prior to the games, they went into strict training. I mean, they ate well, they trained hard, they did everything that they needed to do, and then 1 month out from the games, they actually had to come to Corinth, and they would go into what was called the gymnasium, and they would be watched like a hawk to see if they were actually prepared, if they were actually ready to run the race. And if they were not, if someone looked at them and deemed them unqualified, they actually would not let them run. If you weren't ready, you weren't allowed to toe the line. You had to qualify. Why? Because it was disrespectful to the games themselves to show up on the line unprepared. And so what is Paul really trying to say here? When he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." An athlete who really wants to win. Again, this is true in regular life, and it is true in the spiritual life. An athlete who really wants to win will train, and they will train hard, period. Right? To not train shows that you don't really care about winning. No one would step up to the line who actually wants to win unprepared. They will do everything that they can. Right? And this is the illustration that he's trying to get us to understand. It's the same is true. Just like an athlete preparing for the Olympics or a race in the spiritual life, if we really want to win, we will prepare like we want to win. We will not show up to the starting line of the race and begin to run the race unless we have actually put in the training and put in the work. Now, he goes on. He doesn't end there. He says, "Every athlete exercises self-control in all things," right? If an athlete wants to train well, and I think all of us know this on some level, even if you're not an athlete who's training to you know, win a big race or compete, right? I think all of us can resonate with, there have been times in our life where, you know, maybe I wanted to lose a little weight. Maybe I wanted to gain a little weight, right? Maybe I wanted to get better at something over here, get better at something over here, right? And there's a self-control, there's a self-discipline that goes into that. And without that, you can have all the knowledge you want about training, but if you don't have the discipline to actually do the training, it doesn't matter, right? Things like, for a runner, things like sleep, things like diet, things like actually running on a daily basis. These are all things that we have to have self-control in, right? And so Paul says it's the same in the spiritual race. You want to win the race marked out for you? Do you really want to win? It requires strict training and self-control. Those are fundamental basics when we're running the spiritual race. Paul's challenge, right, like any athlete who shows self-control and deprives themselves, we are to do the same in order to obtain this prize this reward when we cross the finish line. And I love this. This is how he closes out this first part of this verse. In verse 25, they do it to receive a perishable wreath. Athletes who are running in the games, in the Isthmian games, in the Olympic games, they do it to get this wreath, right? They would give a crown of leaves, essentially. And after probably a few days, that crown would begin to wither and die. I mean, it lasted a millisecond. Paul says, we run. Those of us who are running the spiritual race, those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers, we are running a race for a prize that is imperishable, that will not fade. It is so much more valuable than the prize of what an Olympic athlete would win, so much more valuable than a gold medal. And so he's calling out those of us that are in the race. And what he's saying to us is, are we willing to do what it takes to actually win? To win a prize, a crown that is so much greater than anything that this life has to offer. And so he drives the point home here. He doesn't finish there. He really drives this home. And I love this illustration and I love this analogy. Starting in verse 26, he says, so I do not run aimlessly. All right, there's this prize to be won. So I'm not going to run aimlessly. He says, I do not box as one beating the air. But I do what? I discipline my body. And I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Now I tell, again, my athletes that I've coached throughout my years of coaching, one of the things that I constantly find myself saying to them is, stop going through the motions. And what that means is when we're stretching, when we're doing some type of warm-up, a lot of times what I'll see young athletes do is they just kind of like, okay, we're going to touch our toes today. And it's like this, right? There's no real effort. There's no push or drive to do that well, right? When we're out training, when we're out running, if the workout is prescribed to be run at 6 minutes a mile and they go out and run at 8 minutes a mile, right? There's no intentionality there. You're just going through the motions. And I think in the spiritual life, we do this a lot, right? Because we've been told, can we be honest? We've been told, right? You better read your Bible. You better pray. You better go to church. And those are all good things, important things, valuable things. Yes, you should do those things. But if you're just going through the motions of those things, if you're just playing reading the Bible, if you're just playing church, you're just going through the motions. You're not really engaging in good disciplined practice, in good disciplined training, right? I love this next illustration he gives you. He says, so I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, right? When you run a race, you don't just go out and kind of lollygag around, right? There's a finish line. There's a course that you are running. You're not just running aimlessly. There's a focus to be won there. And I love this boxing illustration. He's basically saying, like, this ain't shadow boxing. Right? I'm not just flinging my arms in the air aimlessly when I practice, when I train. There is going to be an opponent on the other side. And he's gonna try to knock my block off. When I practice, when I box, I don't just beat as one beating the air. No, this is real. This is for real. This is a real fight. And we have to be prepared for battle. There's too much at stake. And so don't just go through the motions. And then finally, he reiterates the importance of this discipline, this self-control. He says, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Something I've been thinking about a lot in my own personal life. I'll get real with you for a second, okay? There is a huge difference between having knowledge and putting that knowledge into practice. There's a huge difference between knowing that you need to train well, knowing what you need to do, and actually doing it. And for me, I have some areas in my life, like every single one of us do, where we know we should be doing something. We know there's some changes we need to make. We know there's some things we need to put into practice, where we need to begin to train. We have the knowledge, but our discipline is lacking. Right? We're struggling in the area of actually doing what we know we need to do. Paul says, I discipline my body and I keep it under control. There's a Greek word, doulagogio. And what it means is to make it a slave, to make myself a slave, right? To put myself in a position where I'm saying, I want to do this over here. I want to indulge in this over here, but I know that this thing over here is what is going to be beneficial for me. This is what I need to be doing. If I want to achieve my ultimate goal, I'm going to have to be disciplined in this. I'm going to have to make myself a slave to this thing. Doulagogio, make it my slave. The truth is that most people, most of us, myself included, we are slaves to our bodies. We are. We're slaves. Let's just be honest with ourselves. We're slaves to our bodies and its cravings. We are. And the athlete, the Christian who is running this spiritual race, what we are being called to do here by Paul is to diligently train regardless of how we're feeling. To not allow those cravings and those desires and those feelings to control us, but to have self-control over them, to do the things that we know are actually going to produce in us the righteousness and the things that God wants us to be. Right? It's let's just put it in really practical terms. It's going out and running when I feel like watching Netflix. I don't want to go out and run for 45 minutes right now. What I really want to do is sit and binge watch a show. Right? I think we've all been there. Right? It's going to bed and getting sleep at night instead of staying up and watching game 5 of the NBA Finals. I'm not saying I did that. Right? That's discipline. Right? It's eating fruit and vegetables and healthy proteins instead of ice cream and cake and cookies all the time. Like, we all know those aren't necessarily good, healthy things to be engaging in all the time, right? We have the knowledge, but we struggle so much with the discipline to actually do it. And so Paul is encouraging us. He's encouraging us to do that. He says, finally, let's listen to what he says, this last piece of this. He says, I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And this is so convicting for me. And Paul's basically saying, I do this because I don't want to be DQ'd for just talking the talk and not walking the walk. I don't want to get to the end of the race having told everybody else, this is what you're supposed to do, and then he didn't do it. Man, that is convicting for me. Because as the pastor, it's my responsibility to get up here and to share the truth with you. But it's also my responsibility to follow my own words, to follow scripture, to lead by example, to do what he's called me to do. And I think all of us as Christians, if those of us in the room who are Christ followers, it's all of our responsibility to do that as well. And so I say all that today to ask you this question. We know we're supposed to be disciplined. We have this knowledge of how we're supposed to put some things into practice, some things that we're supposed to be training in if we want to run the race well. Here's my question. How is your training going? How is your training going? And I mean, like, really. Like, take an honest assessment. How's your training going? How is your level of discipline in your training? The bottom line is if we want to win the spiritual race, right? We began today with this. If we want to win the spiritual race, we have to train like someone who actually wants to win. And so the question I want to ask today is, how is that going? How are we actually training? Because I think there are so many of us, we're not running well, not because we don't know that there's a race to be run, not even because we're not motivated. I think a lot of us are motivated. I think we're lacking some discipline in our training. And as a coach and as a pastor, and I know I said this last week, but that's who I am at the core of who I am. I am a coach. I'm a pastor. I'm a coach. It burdens me and it breaks my heart to see so many people who are far from God that are running the complete wrong race, and people who are Jesus followers who are struggling in the race. And a huge part of that is just simply this lack of discipline. It absolutely is in my life. And I want you to grow. Like, as your pastor, I want you to grow. I want you to run the race well. And so I think maybe the question you're asking now is this. Okay, what exactly should I be doing? Where should I be spending my time training? How do I get more disciplined, right? Well, first of all, this is such a simple thing in theory, right? It's such a simple thing in knowledge, in head knowledge. It's such a difficult thing in practice. But at the end of the day, like, you know the Big Mac? How many of you have ever had a Big Mac, all right? If you haven't had a Big Mac, you've at least heard of the Big Mac. Big Mac has special sauce, right? The secret sauce of the Big Mac. We all know that it's Thousand Island dressing, right? Everybody knows that? It's not a secret. It's not that special, right? It's dressing that you can go to Giant Eagle and buy at the grocery store. That's the special sauce. And in the exact same way, guys, there's no secret special sauce to running the race well and training well. Like, God has given us all the tools, everything that we need to run the race well and to train well, right? Now, what is the race? We've talked about this now multiple times. The race is a race of faith, right? It is a race to become more like Christ. It is a race to live and to love more like Jesus, right? And if we're going to do that, well, then you need event-specific training, right? The training that we do in other aspects of our life is not the same as what we need in the spiritual life, right? A sprinter does not train the same way that a distance runner does. The distance runner is not going to run well off of sprinter training. A shot putter is not going to train the way that a distance runner or a sprinter does, right? They're not going to throw the shot very well if they do that. Right, there's specific training that helps each one of those specific events do their best in that event. And the same is true in the spiritual life. Right? To run the race of faith, we need faith-building training. I love this in 1 Timothy 4:7-8. He says, Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, he says, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Right? What he's saying here is that we shouldn't be focused or paying attention. He says he uses this language of have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales, things that don't matter, things that aren't even necessarily true, things that aren't going to help you. Don't focus on those things. Yes, physical training is of some value. I can tell you, I see some value in physical training. But at the end of the day, our bodies are going bye-bye. One day, we are not going to have our bodies anymore, but our spirit is going to live on forever and ever and ever, one way or the other. And so the training that we do from a spiritual perspective, it is so much more important than anything we will ever do in the physical sense, right? Okay, so what are those things? Again, it's not the Big Mac. There's no special sauce. There's no secret sauce. We got to be in God's word. We have to be in his word. We have to be disciplined enough to really sit and engage with his word, not just quickly listen to it or read through it as fast as we can just to check a box to say, I read the Bible. That's going through the motions. That's not really training. Right? It is spending time in prayer, not just talking to God, but listening. Like just sitting and listening for his voice to speak to us. I believe it's being in community, Christian fellowship with other believers who are there to put their arm around you and encourage you, but also challenge you sometimes and to get up in your grill a little bit and push you to become the best that you can be, right? Those are just a few, I think, maybe of some of the most important things, the most important disciplines that we've got to be putting into practice that I think for a lot of us, we do it for a little bit and then we stop for a while. And we do it for a little bit and then we stop for a while. We all know this, right? I love this quote from John Maxwell. Most Christians are educated well beyond their level of obedience. And I think you could take that word, obedience, and you could put in self-control, you could put in discipline, right? Most of us, again, myself included a lot of times, we know what to do. We've heard this a thousand times. Those of us who are, have been in the church for a while. But it's not about knowledge. It's about actually putting that knowledge into practice. It's about being obedient and disciplined in it. And so I want to close today with this. I want to encourage you with two things. And my job as a pastor, my role as a pastor is this. It is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. And that is a very difficult and fine line to walk. Because sometimes people need a lot more comfort than they do affliction. And sometimes people need to be more afflicted to get them out of their comfort zone, right? And so I want to try to do a little bit of both today, but I want to end this message by just encouraging you. Because I believe that's what Paul is trying to do here in 1 Corinthians 9. I don't think he's trying to be down on us and make us feel like, you know, you're just never going to be good enough. You'll never be disciplined enough. I don't think that's it at all. I do think, though, that he is trying to push us to see that if we will put some of these things into practice and be disciplined in these areas, the race is going to get so much easier. The best races I've ever run are the ones where I've had the best training leading up to that race. And the race almost feels like, it almost feels easy. I don't know how else to describe it. The best races I've ever run were the easiest races I've ever run because I was in amazing shape because I did the training. I didn't get injured. Everything went according to plan, right? And I got in the race and it was like, okay. In the spiritual race, it's the same way. The more prepared we are for it, the easier it will be. Doesn't mean it will always work out perfectly. It doesn't mean it will be just completely a breeze, but it's going to be easier. And so here's the two ways I want to encourage you today. Number one, I want you to write this down. This is such a fundamental, essential principle for us today. Consistency over time equals breakthrough. Consistency over time is what equals breakthrough. I tell my athletes this all the time. It is the little things done consistently over a long period of time that is actually going to get you to that breakthrough. And here's what happens for most of us in the Christian life. We go, all right, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start doing all these little things. I'm going to start training well. I want to be prepared. I want to run the race well. And we do it for 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks or maybe even 2 or 3 months. And we don't see much change. We don't see a breakthrough happen. And so what do? We get discouraged and we stop and we throw in the towel and we say, forget this, right? Think about like with diets. This happens with diets all the time, right? I'm going to eat better. I'm going to eat healthy. We do it for 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks. We don't see a lot of results and we're just like, forget it. I throw in the towel, I'm going right back to being undisciplined and eating whatever I want, right? That's not how it works in real life and that's not how it works in the spiritual life. When you are gonna see breakthrough is when you consistently commit to training and just do it and do it and do it over the long haul. And for some people, that breakthrough might come in a week. For some people, that breakthrough might not come for 10 years. That's not the point. The point is, you consistently do it until you see the breakthrough. So many times in the running world, in my running life, in athletes that I've coached, I see a kid who's training and training and training, and sometimes it almost seems like they take a step back. They're tired from the training, right? And then all of a sudden, when they least expect it, there's this breakthrough. And that's the second thing that I want to encourage you with today. Breakthrough often comes when we least expect it. Breakthrough comes oftentimes when we least expect it. We want it to happen now, right? But that's not usually how it works. My encouragement to you is this. Consistently, over time, train, get in the word, continue to pray, continue to be in community. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard. And at some point, you are going to see a breakthrough. Like that runner who has plateaued, all of a sudden it's gonna be like, bam, all of a sudden the time drops. You drop a minute off of your 5K. And it seems like it comes out of nowhere. And I think we look around at people sometimes and we think like, all of a sudden they were like this instant success. All of a sudden they instantly were, they got it and they were starting to get it together. If you went behind the scenes and you looked at their life and you looked at what they've been through and you looked at all the training that they did to get to that point, I think you would see it wasn't instantaneous at all. It took time. And so I can't encourage you enough. Maybe you've been discouraged lately. Maybe you felt like you started training well and you've just gotten off course. Maybe somewhere along the way you got injured and it got you derailed from being disciplined in your training. You got hurt. You got wounded. I can't encourage you enough. Start again. Start running again. Start training again. And watch what happens. I love this. This is my last quote for you this morning. Motivation gets you going, but it is discipline that keeps you growing. Right? The motivation to run is Christ. It is what he has done for us. And that is a powerful and important thing, and we need that. But it is the discipline in our training that is going to actually keep us growing, that it's going to move us beyond the starting line and move us towards the finish. And so I don't know, guys, I don't know what your spiritual training has been like. That's between you and God, honestly. I don't know what it's been like. I don't know if your training's been going well. But I want to see you have a breakthrough. I want to see you have a breakthrough in your spiritual life. I want to see you move from wherever you are in the race and just start to begin to, if you're walking to jog, if you're jogging to run, if you're running to sprint, like make progress. And that's really what discipleship is all about. Right? Each of us are at a different place in our journey. Each of us are running a different pace in the race. That's okay. The key is, are we making progress? Are we actually doing the training that's going to help us get better and improve? And so today, as we close, maybe the biggest encouragement that I can give you is this. No matter how far off track you may think that you are, how far off track maybe you feel like you've gotten with your training, we have the most gracious, incredible, loving coach that has ever existed. We have Christ. And he is running with you. He is in your corner. He is trying to coach you up to run the race well. But we've got to go to our coach. We got to go to him consistently, regularly. We've got to have conversation with him. We got to be in his instruction manual, in the Word of God, listening to the training advice that he is trying to give us. And then we've actually got to put it into practice. We've got to be disciplined enough to do it. I am so thankful that I don't have to run the race alone. And you don't either. And so today, I don't know where you're at in the spiritual race. Maybe today you're here and you haven't even gotten to the starting line. And we said this last week, that's the beginning of getting to the starting line is beginning relationship with Christ. You'll never run the race well without him. You'll never even be in the right race without him. And so I cannot encourage you enough. If you do not have a relationship with Jesus, it's as simple as this. Again, there's no secret sauce today. He says, come to me, repent, admit you that you have sin in your life, give your life to me, and I will begin to do a work in you that you can't even imagine. And I will begin to start to set you free from the bondage of the things that are weighing you down, whether that's sin or brokenness or whatever crap and garbage that you've been through in your life. But you have to take that step towards him. He's there, he's ready, he's waiting, he's at the starting line, and he's calling you. And if you are already in the race, today as the body of Christ, would you commit this week to start training? Like if you really want to win the race, you have to train. And so I'm going to be praying for you. Like that's my one of my big commitments this week and moving forward. I'm going to be praying for you as you train because I know how hard it is. I know how much discipline it takes. I know that my lack of self-control gets the better of me on a regular basis. It's hard. but it can be done in Christ, through his grace, through his consummate running next to us. It's possible. And that's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for you. Father, we thank you and we praise you that we don't run this race alone, that you have called us into something bigger and greater than any other race we could try to run in this life. God, I thank you for the grace that you pour out on me. And I ask that you help me to accept it in my own life. On the days when I fail, on the days when I feel like I've been trying so hard and I haven't seen a breakthrough, God, I pray that you would help me to just release it to you and recognize you haven't called me to do this on my own. In fact, it's only through your power that I'm going to have the discipline and the self-control to even be disciplined. God, I pray for this church community. I pray that whatever vices and things that they might have in their life right now, God, I pray your Holy Spirit would bring comfort to them. They would feel your grace. But I also pray that you would speak your truth to us. Help us to move beyond where we are. Father, I pray that if there is anybody in this room today who's just questioning, they're not sure about this whole God thing, this whole Jesus thing, God, that they would at least be open to having conversation with me or somebody else, somebody who's in relationship with you. God, as a church, that's our desire and that's our prayer, that everybody would be in relationship with Christ, training to win the race and ultimately one day receive that ultimate prize that you offer. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Hey guys, thank you so much.